A few weeks ago, I preached about the Pillars of Wealth. Dad's got this series about money, and actually, it's not really about money. When you start listening to the Pillars of Wealth, it's actually about all sorts of other things. And I was talking about godliness with contentment a few weeks ago. So it has to do with money, because when we're content with what we have, God's able to trust us with more because we're not wanting the more. So we talked about that a few weeks ago, and I was really worried that I would do a lousy job and ruin Dad's series. It's got such a wonderful title, you know, Pillars of Wealth. It sounds so great. I can just imagine this fantastic CD set with a nice cover, and I thought, I don't want to be the one that messes up the set and it doesn't come into existence. And so I did my best, and I stayed up late at night preparing, and then apparently I must have done an all right job, because I had a few people said I did well, and then my dad came back and said, you did such a good job, we have to give you another one. I thought, that wasn't the plan. So I thought to myself, what I need to do this time is do a really ordinary job, and I won't have to do any more. But then I might ruin his series, so I'm kind of torn, not really sure how to approach it today. But truthfully, I hope I do a good job, and I'm able to share truth with you, and I hope it's a blessing to you, and that we're able to learn something and also be, you know, strong, mature Christians who we can handle wealth for God, but we can also, you know, live in many ways for the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, we've covered a few different basic ideas, a few basic what we're calling pillars of wealth, and we talked about Psalm chapter 49, which says that without understanding, that it says the rich people without understanding are like the beasts that perish. We talked about the fact that we're all rich people. We live in the Western world, we're all quite well off. So what we need is we need understanding. It's something that comes from God. That was the first what we're calling pillars. Then we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it talks about contentment with godliness. And we talked about how God really wants to trust us with great things, but what he's wanting for us is not to love money. He's wanting us to love him. And when our heart's in the right place, God can give us more. That was what we talked about. That was the second pillar, which was contentment with godliness. My father talked about the passage in 1 Corinthians where it talks about a storehouse of seed. And it says that the church was given this, that the church would be given a storehouse of seed so that it could do things for Jesus Christ. So the purpose of having wealth or having money was to serve Jesus. It was for the kingdom of God. That was the real purpose of wealth. And my father talked about that. And then 2 weeks ago, he talked about wisdom as a pillar of wealth. And in Proverbs, there's lots of places where it says that if you get wisdom, then, as a result of that, you will receive wealth. And you can read that in Proverbs chapter 3 and in other places. So I thought, now, interesting thing happened to me today, this week. My father was supposed to send me the information on what to preach about the pillars of wealth. But the information was not forthcoming. So I sent a reminder to him early in the week. You know, don't forget, I need to know what direction to take with this Pillars of Wealth series. No reply. And on Friday I was in the office. David Hood was just there and Jonathan was in front of me, and I saw an email come in from my father. And I said, Yahoo! An email from Dad! And David Hood said, well, aren't you the lucky one? I'm not sure what emails he's waiting on. But as I read the email, lo and behold, not a mention of anything to do with Pillars of Wealth. So, we're going through the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning, and what I believe to be the direction that this Pillars of Wealth series should go. Now, I did say to my father, what about these ideas? And he said, those are good ideas. Go with it. So, I do have the approval of my father, and the direction that we're going in is a good direction. And what we're going to do is we're going to look a little bit more at this subject of wisdom today. We really talked about the fact that we needed wisdom before, but now we're going to talk a little bit more of detail about exactly what that is. So we're going to start by putting up Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 11. And we're going to read all of that this morning. It's there's quite a bit of it there. The first 8 verses are on your screen. You might have to look closely to see it. It says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars." There's that word, pillars. I keep calling it the pillars of wisdom, but it's the pillars of wealth. But maybe it's the same thing. Who knows? "She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine, and she has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point in the city, 'Let all who are simple come in here.'" How many people think they're simple? We don't like to think of ourselves as being simple, but I guess if we don't consider ourselves to be simple, we might never be chasing after wisdom. So maybe we are simple. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you, but rebuke a wise man and he will love you." Stop there for a second. This week I had to correct one of my children over something, and he said, "Dad, I don't like being, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it was something along the lines of, "I don't like being corrected." And I reminded him of what the Bible says. You know, wise people love to be corrected. I thought to myself, it doesn't give me much hope. I hate being corrected. So probably everyone does. And I thought, well, according to the book of Proverbs, we're all fools, because none of us like to be corrected. But a wise man loves to be corrected. I thought there's something to think about there. Anyway, "Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many and years will be added to your life." So through wisdom we will have many days, years will be added to our lives. And in verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So something to keep in mind. Now, recently my wife and I talked about doing our wills. We had been to America where my wife's mother had passed away unexpectedly. And she didn't have a will. It was a sad time for us, and then there was the added complication of trying to sort things out without a will. And fortunately things are being sorted out, but we came back from the States well aware that we didn't have wills. We needed to make sure we had wills in place. So now we have interim wills. We have wills that are in place, but they're not, probably all the detail really isn't in there what we would eventually like to have, and we will figure that all out. But at least we have something. And as part of that, you know, you leave things to your children. And but when you think about it, like for me thinking about leaving assets and things to my children, I'm very much aware that my children are not capable of handling the wealth and the assets. They're just not ready. And it's kind of a little bit like this whole topic of wisdom. And so what you do with a will is usually, what most people do is they leave their assets or their wealth in trust for the children with someone that they do trust until the children are old enough to be able to look after it themselves. That's right, that's what most people do. And so that's kind of like what God does with wisdom. What God's wanting to do is give great responsibilities and privileges to all the people who follow him, but he just needs us to be a little bit wise before he can trust us with some things. But unfortunately, lots of Christians just aren't that wise. And so God never ever comes to the place where he's able to trust them with real spiritual assets and with real physical assets and wealth too. God wants to do great things, and he just needs a few people with a little bit of spiritual common sense, what the Bible calls wisdom. And when he finds people like that, and they do the right thing with money, and they do live for the kingdom, and it's not all spent upon their own desires, then God knows, I can put more money into that person's hands. So wisdom really is something we should all be pursuing, because it means God can trust us with his assets. And so I remember, it's a story that kind of illustrates what we're talking about. I remember the day that I went to get my learner's license. I went into the Department of Transport on Knight Street. I did my test and I passed. First time. I only got one question wrong. I studied. I wanted to pass and I did. I put the effort in. Some of my friends went back a lot of times. I remember one person went back 19 times before they got their learner's license. I don't think they studied. I think they just went in and just had a stab. Well, they did lots of stabs. But I got it first time because I studied. And then I started learning to drive. I remember my first driving lesson vividly, sitting in the driver's seat of our Nissan Patrol. The clutch went in about a foot, and I could hardly get the clutch all the way in because I wasn't not an overly tall person. And I remember my dad being a little bit fidgety. I'm the first one, remember. He's experienced at teaching people to drive now, but he wasn't when I started. And a little bit fidgety. I remember backing out the driveway and almost straight into the tree across the road. That was my start. And if Dad wasn't fidgety before that, he sure was after. And I remember coming home from that first driving lesson saying to my dad, I don't want to learn to drive. Just was not a good beginning. Anyway, things improved after that. And I had some official driving lessons. And eventually the day came for me to get my to go sit my real practical exam. And I hopped in the car with the examiner and we went for a drive and I was very nervous, very cautious, and every intersection I would slow right down and look doubly sure, and I did, I think, fairly well. When we came back into the Department of Transport, he got me out and said, now I need to have a chat with you. And I thought, oh no, I failed. But turns out that was a good sign. And he took a few minutes and he explained to me the things I had done wrong, and then he said to me, he said, you're a cautious and a careful driver, and he said, because of that, I'm going to give you your license today. So he trusted me because I had the right frame of mind in approaching traffic. Now, I'm not a cautious, probably careful driver. I'm still a careful driver, but I don't slowly drive up to the intersections like I used to. And there's even been the odd occasion when my wife has said, slow down. So, you know, I've developed some confidence in driving since then. But for me, it began with a certain approach to driving where, because I was careful and I wanted to do the right thing, you could almost say that was wisdom. You could almost say that. And because of that, I received my license first time. But there was another young man who went to the same school that I did. Now, he had great confidence in his driving ability. He loved to spin the tyres on the car and screech down the road. And I remember the first day he went for his practical test and he failed. I wasn't surprised, because I thought the examiner would not give him his license in a fit. The way that he approached driving and traffic, roaring up to intersections and screeching to a halt and sometimes not stopping at stop signs, and eventually he got it on his third or fourth attempt, got his practical driver's, and then he was on the road. And my mother and my father said to me, you're not allowed to be a passenger in his car. Now, I think my mother and father might have had some wisdom in that situation, because a few years later that young man ended up being in a terrible tragic accident and was killed. And we were very sad. It was a very, very sad time. But I thought about all of that and I thought, you know, his approach to the motor vehicle, his approach to traffic was all wrong. And that's the reason why my mother and father would not let me be a passenger in his car, because they knew his approach was all wrong. And it was very, very sad for the family, and some of the people in the church knew that young man. It was a very sad time, but there was no wisdom with that particular part of his life. He may have been wise in other ways, but he was not wise with a motor vehicle. And I thought to myself, you know, God, this is what we talked about a few weeks ago. God loves us. And we said something. We said, God wants to prosper us, but he will not prosper us at the expense of our souls. Remember we said that? God's not going to give us money if the money is going to take us away from him. It would be far better to go through your whole life being poor and end up in the kingdom of God than to be a wealthy person for a short 50, 80 or 100 years and be cut off from God in all eternity. And the love of God is so much that he would keep us poor if it's going to keep him close to him. Far better to be poor and have the love of God. And so it's the same thing with wisdom. Do you know what? Wisdom is the thing that helps to put our minds and our hearts in the right place so God can trust us with more. Wisdom is the thing that we need to be able to live for Christ the way God always wants us to. And God wants to trust us with wealth, and he wants to prosper us because he loves us. We just need to do it the right way, the way the Bible says. And anyone who's a parent knows that as your children grow, there's a progression of responsibilities that they will get as they're ready to receive them. And so we know with one of our little ones, we don't let them outside on their own because they want to run straight over to the road and run onto the road. They haven't learned yet that there's dangers associated with that. So there's a progression of responsibilities. But the day will come when that young man will be allowed outside on his own to play in the yard. But not yet. And in the kingdom of God, even though we're all loved and we're saved and we're accepted by Christ, there's also a progression of responsibility. And God doesn't give us some things yet until we're ready for them. And sadly, some believers never are ready for some things. But the Bible says we must leave behind foolish things and we must go on to maturity. In the book of Hebrews, it says we must stop drinking milk and we must start eating meat. And it says that certain kinds of things are for the mature, and it tells us what those things are, and it's things like righteousness and judgment and leaving behind sinful ways. It's basic things like that that mature us as Christians. And wisdom is also something which, as we receive it from Christ, we become mature and we grow and we are able to handle more responsibility for Christ. So, wisdom is really important. It's important for obtaining wealth. It's important for living for Jesus. And in fact, the Bible says that wisdom is supreme. What's supreme mean? I contemplated that this week while eating a supreme pizza. What does supreme mean? I guess that means it's the best kind of pizza you can get. But I would disagree with pizzas because I think there are better pizzas than supreme pizzas. But I think what supreme really means is it's the best. So if the Bible says wisdom is supreme, then it really means if you're going to go after something, go after wisdom. And in fact, in the book of Colossians, it says that Christ is wisdom. So when you're chasing wisdom, you're actually chasing Christ. And when you're chasing Christ, you're actually chasing wisdom. It's the same thing. Now, I decided I was going to find out what wisdom really was. So I did what every young person my age does. I typed into Google, define, colon, wisdom. Define wisdom. And according to that, this is what I came up with. Wikipedia. You know, when you do a definition search on Google, it looks over the internet and finds places where people have defined something and it shows you one or two or those relevant results. So according to Wikipedia, it says, wisdom is the judicious application of knowledge. It is a deep understanding and realization of people, things, events, or situations, resulting in the ability to apply perceptions, judgments, and actions in keeping with this understanding. It often requires control of one's emotional reactions, the passions, so that universal principles, reason, and knowledge prevail to determine one's actions. Josh, that's a mouthful. I don't know that that makes any sense at all. I asked David Elijah if he knew what wisdom was, and he said, it's being smart and knowing what to do. See, that's a good definition. We should just get his and put it into Wikipedia. It's a great definition. However, do you know the Bible has a definition too? If you go into the Greek Old Testament, and there's a word for wisdom which I should have written down because I've forgotten now. It's got a couple of letters, Z's and H's and things in there. And it kind of includes some of the ideas of what we've just said from Wikipedia. It kind of includes that these ideas of knowledge and being smart in making decisions, but it's a bit more than that. It includes knowing what God wants and being wise in terms of living the way God's requiring you to live. So wisdom, godly wisdom, is really a little bit different from wisdom that most people think of when you say wisdom. When you talk about wisdom, most people think of an old person that's been through life and they've learned a few things along the way and now they're a little bit wiser. But really God's wisdom has got to do with knowing what God wants and being able to make decisions based upon that. That's really what God's wisdom is. And so when we're talking about wisdom, what we're really talking about is godly wisdom. We're not talking about wisdom that comes from just being an old person and having had lots of life experiences. We're not talking about that. So wisdom is really a bit of a mixture of both. It really is a mixture of a few life experiences and some intelligence and knowledge and being able to be thoughtful, but combining that with a heart that's right towards God, a heart that wants to follow God, knows what God wants, and willing to do the right thing. So there's a difference between what the world thinks wisdom is and what the Bible says wisdom is. In James chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, now James talked a lot about wisdom, and we're going to put this little passage up now, James chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. You should probably go and read the book of James because he talks lots about wisdom and there's a lot that we can learn from James. But here in James chapter 3, this is what he says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So you can see that according to James, wisdom isn't just being a smart, intelligent person that can make good decisions. It's something that includes good deeds. It's the way you live, and it includes humility. These kind of things are the result of God's wisdom. Verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, now there's wanting things your way, in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth, because such wisdom, in quotes, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So there's a difference here in different kinds of wisdom. And it says that this wisdom, in quotes, that comes from the earth, selfish ambition is one of the factors in that kind of wisdom. So we can have people in the world that we consider wise people, but in their heart, if they're just thinking of themselves or furthering their own interests, it's really not godly wisdom at all. According to God, according to the book of Proverbs, it's actually foolishness. And so we see there is a difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. So after having done that, I decided I would Google how to become wise. You know, there's lots of ideas out there on how to become wise. And I found a lot of websites with earthly wisdom on how to become wise. You know, suggestions for if you want to become wiser, try doing these few things. Read lots of books. Talk to people who are old. Ask them questions. There's a whole variety of suggestions. But nearly all of these different suggestions had several points in common. They talked about thinking, taking time before making decisions, consulting others, and learning from your experiences. And I thought to myself, if experience is necessary for wisdom, well, here is some wisdom from the experiences of children. Patrick, age 10, said, "Never trust a dog to watch your food. Wisdom obtained from experience. Wear a hat when feeding seagulls." Rocky, age 9. "Don't flush the toilet when your dad's in the shower." Lamar, age 10. "Never ask for anything that costs more than $5 when your parents are doing the taxes." That was Carol, age 9. That was a smart one. "When your dad is mad and asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't say anything." That's Heather, age 16. She's a little bit older, that Heather. "Never try to baptize a cat." "Never spit on a roller coaster." "Never tell your little brother that you're not going to do what mum said." stay away from prunes, never dare your little brother to paint the family car. All right, so there's some wisdom from children learned from experience. Okay, so you can, through experiences, you can learn some little wise things in life. But that's really, you know, that's a part of wisdom, but that's really not what we're talking about when we're talking about godly wisdom. You know, as we get older, we all get a little wiser like that. We all learn some things that we shouldn't do, you know. I know someone, when he was young and silly, decided to sneak up to a petrol station and let down all four tyres on a police car. Well, he now admits that might have been a silly thing to have done. See, we learn as we go along. We learn that some things are right and some things are not right. Some people don't. But really, we're talking about godly wisdom, which includes that, but it includes much more. So if real wisdom could come through getting older and experiencing many things, then you would think that older people would really be wise in every way. But as it turns out, there's a lot of old people that are actually not that wise. I decided I was going to illustrate this by finding something funny on the internet, so I googled stupid things that old people do. And up came a video which I decided not to watch. But the video was a picture of an elderly man standing on the edge of a pool with, I guess it was his wife, elderly wife, standing on his shoulders, about to jump in. And I looked down the page at all these things about stupid things that old people do, and I thought, I probably don't need to go there. I think we'll just leave that alone. But it's proof that sometimes being old doesn't necessarily mean you're wise. Wisdom doesn't always come from just getting older. It doesn't always come from having lots of experiences in life. You can learn some things that way. Wisdom comes a different way. How does wisdom come? How does godly wisdom, what we're trying to get, how do we get that? All right. In the Bible, over and over again, wisdom is something that comes from God. Okay? If you do a search for the word wisdom in the Bible, the very first place that the word wisdom appears is in Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, and it was talking about Aaron, the high priest, and it says that he had the spirit of wisdom given to him by God. So the very first mention of the kind of wisdom we're talking about in the Bible was a gift from God. And then all the way through the book of Exodus, there's lots of references to wisdom, and nearly all of them are the spirit of wisdom, or wisdom that was given by the Holy Spirit. Nearly every single one is a reference to something that's given by God. In Exodus chapter 36, verse 2, it mentions these two men called Bezalel and Aholiab. Great names. Remember that when you next have a child. And these men, it said, were wise because God gave them wisdom. And they used their wisdom to help build the furnishings for the tabernacle. They had wisdom that didn't come from just living in this world. It came from somewhere else. It came from Christ. And then, many years later in history, and about 6 or 10 books later in the Bible, in the book of Kings, we have a story where someone called Solomon became the king of Israel. Solomon was a little worried because he had inherited this kingdom from his father, and it was a big kingdom. It had a kingdom with lots of responsibilities, and he was concerned that he wasn't going to do a good job. On his father's deathbed, his father said, "There's just these couple of things I'd like you to do. I think you should do them." Well, Solomon took no time at all in doing them. It included putting to death someone or two and a few other things. He put those things in place. You could go read that in 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2. And then in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon had done the things that his father told him to do, and now he didn't know what to do. So he went and he decided to sacrifice to the Lord, and he rounded up a lot of cows, and he went to a certain place and did all these sacrifices. What he was doing is he was seeking the Lord. That's what he was doing. And then that night he had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Ask me for anything that you want, and I will do it for you." I asked that question in youth one night. I said, if you could have anything you want, what would it be? And there was a huge number of answers of money. $1 million or... Because if you think about it right now, if someone said, if Bill Gates came up to you and said, if there's anything in this whole entire world you want, what would it be? I'll give it to you. Your mind would start worrying. And probably most people would be thinking about money. And so God says to Solomon, whatever you want, you can have it. And Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon says, this is his reason, he says, you know, I've just inherited this kingdom and I don't know how to be a good king. I don't know how to manage the many responsibilities. He said, I'm just a child. I want wisdom so I can do a good job. So really, the heart of the man was he wanted to please God. He was seeking God. He wanted to know, how can I be a good king? How can I fulfill my responsibilities properly? And so he asked God to help him. Give me wisdom so I can do a good job. And God was very pleased with that answer and said, because you did not ask for long life or for wealth or for the death of your enemies, but asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you all the other things as well. And so Solomon ended up becoming the wisest man, in exception to Christ, that has ever lived, and also became one of the wealthiest men that has ever lived. He became both. And I think there's a direct key between the two, because wisdom is a pillar of wealth. So when you have the one, you have the other. And so Solomon is a terrific example of that. Now, do you remember a few minutes ago we had a scripture up, Proverbs chapter 9. Do you all remember what verse 10 said? It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Solomon, how did he get his wisdom? It was because he had the fear of the Lord. He actually began by seeking the Lord and by offering sacrifices to the Lord and by praying. He didn't begin by seeking money. He didn't even begin by seeking wealth, wisdom so he could get wealth. He began by seeking the Lord. And that's a sign of the fear of the Lord in his life. Because he had great respect for Christ, he sought Christ, and so that was the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what often happens is that we have impure motives in our hearts. So we preach a message like this and we say, don't seek after wealth, seek after wisdom. Because if you get wisdom, you'll get wealth. So everybody starts thinking, oh great, I've got to seek after wisdom so I can get wealth. But what are you doing if you do that? You're just seeking after wealth. You're still seeking after the same thing. You're just going by a two-step process to get it instead of a one-step process to get it. It's no different to other people who start a business or start investments. They're seeking wealth too. That's the way they're trying to get it. And if you want to get wealthy by seeking wisdom, you're just doing the same thing. Your heart is still seeking the wealth. You should be seeking wisdom because that's what you should be seeking. So your attitude should really be, I want to be a wise person, and if I never ever receive wealth, at least I will receive what God wants me to have. So you should seek for wisdom because the Bible says it's supreme. It says if you get wisdom, you'll get everything. But your attitude should be that even if you don't get everything, you still should seek it anyway. And then your heart is in the right place for you to actually be able to receive some of these other things. So it all comes down to what the motivation is in our hearts. If our motivation is to please Christ and we ask for wisdom from that place, then God can trust us and out of that place will come wealth and much for the kingdom. But if our motivation is to be wealthy and so we ask for wisdom, we are not any different from anyone else who seeks wealth. We're just doing it a different way. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because in the fear of the Lord, that's when our hearts are in the right place before God. The fear of the Lord really is walking in life aware of God and aware of what he wants. That's the fear of the Lord, being very mindful all the time of what God wants. And that place is where wisdom begins. Now, over the years, I've fallen into a trap of wanting to be wealthy myself. I think everybody does. Everybody wants to have more. So I'm not ashamed in saying that. I'm just being honest. I know that we're all humans that live in a world and we all want more. I shared that with someone this week, and he said, "Oh, David, you're the last person I would have thought would have the love of money." So it just goes to show that, you know, sometimes you don't know what's really in people's hearts. Deep down within all of our hearts is a struggle that we all have wanting more. And so over the years I've tried various things. You know, I thought that if I do this particular thing, I'll receive more. You know, even the sowing and reaping thing years ago, my strategy for a while in life was that, you know, I want to have more, and if I just give money away, I'll get wealthier. Well, there's truth in sowing and reaping. That's what the Bible says. When you sow a seed, you do reap. But it's only when you sow the seed into the right soil. And when your heart's loving money and loving other things and not loving Christ, your heart's actually not the right soil. You may as well not sow the seed. No, still sow the seed, because it's good for God's kingdom. But what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to sow and you're going to give, then you've got to have the right soil. And what we're talking about now as pillars of wealth is we're talking about the right soil, the right attitudes and values in the heart where God can give us more wealth. Because if you give money away but your heart's not right, God just can't give you any more because he can't trust you with it. And I know lots, not just me, I know lots of people who gave money away thinking they were going to get wealthy because of giving money away. But our hearts were in the wrong place. And so I'm sharing with you that over the years, there's been a few things that have happened to me where I thought, if I just do this, I'll have more. And it always leads to disappointment. In the book of Timothy, it says that people who love money have, you know, pierced themselves with many, I can't remember the word. Yeah, many griefs. And it's taken them away from Christ. There was a gentleman called Demas who was one of Apostle Paul's closest friends. And Paul ended up saying, "Oh, I'm very sorry, but Demas has left. It seemed he loved the world too much." And the good news is God does want to give us much. He wants to trust us with much. Let's get our heart in the right place. And today what we're saying is, let's seek godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is going to help us a lot. It's going to guide us. It's going to teach us. And when we have to make decisions, we're going to make the right ones. So, we must be people who seek wisdom. We must be people who cultivate the fear of the Lord, which is the constant awareness and respect for what God wants. We must live accordingly and seek to advance his kingdom, and all of this is wise. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24? He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man who built his house on the rock." So in other words, a wise man is someone who listens to the things that Jesus says and does them. A wise man is someone who seeks Christ and follows him and lives for the kingdom of God. So that's what godly wisdom really is. So there are three scriptures I'm going to give to you now, and these three scriptures tell us how we can obtain wisdom. The first is Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. So let's just put that one up. It says, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding." So where are all the treasures of wisdom and understanding hidden? They're hidden in Christ. So what you're going to do to obtain these things is you're going to be seeking and following Christ. That's the first one of our three scriptures. The second is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what is able to make you wise? Holy scriptures, the Bible. We talk a lot about reading our Bibles and praying. Well, if you want to become wise, we've got a lot of wisdom here in the Holy Scriptures. And we have a whole entire book called the Book of Proverbs, which is full of wisdom. And it starts out by saying, for he who wants to become wise, here's all this information. You can read the Book of Proverbs and obtain much wisdom from there. Final scripture today on how to obtain wisdom is James chapter 1, verse 5. Let's get that up on the screen. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if you want to be wise, ask. Remember, godly wisdom comes from God. So if you want to have it, you should ask him for it. So three ways to get wisdom today. Colossians tells us it comes from Christ, so seek Christ. Timothy tells us it comes from the Holy Scriptures, so read your Bible and study it. And James 1 verse 5 tells us, pray, ask for wisdom, and God will give it and not find fault with you. Who wants to be wise today? I know I do. And what's the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. Money draws us after itself. But wisdom teaches us how to think right, and it leads us towards Christ. I'd like to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to release by faith. You know, my father releases anointings in meetings. It's something that he does by faith. He believes that there is an anointing that can be released. It's kind of like praying for everybody, but it takes a lot less time. I like the sound of that. And there's been times he's released the spirit of understanding into our church. Well, I'm probably not as experienced at doing it as my dad is, but I'm going to try this morning. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to release here the spirit of wisdom. Do you know that Aaron, that very first place in the Bible where wisdom gets mentioned, it says he had the spirit of wisdom. And so there's various places in the Bible where wisdom, we know, is something that can come from the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do today is I want to pray by faith to release the spirit of wisdom in church today. And I think that when I do that, we should all be people who believe with faith that we should receive the spirit of wisdom. And I believe that God will give us something. And then I also believe that as a result of that, we will find that there's some differences in our lives. And it may not be very visible and obvious, but one of them, I hope, is that you will continue to seek after wisdom and seek after the things that God wants for you to have. So if you would bow your heads today and have an attitude of faith as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that was given. I thank you for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for many of the gifts and the fruit, like love and patience and faithfulness and the things that we do seek to be like. And I thank you for the other gifts of the Spirit, the tongues and prophecy and things that we've tried to walk in. But I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us more than that, and that there is in the Bible this gift of wisdom. I thank you that we see other people received it from you. Solomon and Aaron and Moses and David and Christ himself had wisdom. The anointing of wisdom, I thank you that these people and many others in Scripture received wisdom from you supernaturally. And today, Lord, we want to receive from you wisdom. We know that you are wisdom. We want to have more of you. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give to us as a church wisdom. Give to us as a church understanding. You've already given us a big vision and a big mission, and we want to do a good job of it. In some ways, we kind of feel like Solomon. We just feel like a child, and that just we're not capable of doing the things you've called us to do, and we don't even know how to do some of the things you've called us to do. Father, we need your wisdom. We need your understanding. Give it to us. And so by faith today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will just receive on behalf of this church that spirit of wisdom, and I'll just release it here into the congregation. Father, I pray that all of us by faith would receive it. Wisdom, be present in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would touch us, change us, give us a heart's desire for you. Give to us the fear of the Lord that we might seek wisdom, that we might seek you. I pray that we might study diligently the Holy Scriptures and become wise. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit might be present to us, giving us wisdom. And I pray that we might find that we have become wiser. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can be trusted with spiritual wealth, with spiritual assets, and with physical wealth and physical assets as well, for the sake of the kingdom. And I pray, Father, that our hearts would not be drawn after these things, but instead that we would seek first your kingdom. And I pray that we would find that your kingdom is advanced and the cause of the gospel is made strong. And I pray you'd prosper this church. And not only would we meet our budget and pay our bills, but I pray we would do much for the sake of Jesus and for the gospel. I pray, Father, that power would be given to us to take this apostolic message to the nations like you've asked us to do. And I pray that there would be in each and every heart enthusiasm and initiative and desire for Christ and his kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bless you all. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't know whether I'm supposed to command that blessing. No one said what I should do at the end of my message. So, was there any... Who's in charge? Was there anything else we had to do today? We're going to sing a song? And then maybe we'll do that passage in Genesis chapter 28, the blessing that we decree over the church. So we'll invite the band to come and be mindful of Christ and remember to seek him for wisdom this week and always. Yes, and then after that we are going to pray as we usually do. Thank you all for listening to me today.